make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six reasons you should still visit Disney's Hollywood Studios. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 113 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of March 26th, 2017. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. When it opened way back in 1989, the Disney MGM Studios really was a half-day park, if that. It had one, count them, one attraction in the Great Movie Ride, plus the studio tour. Over the years, the park expanded, but recently it seems to have actually contracted as Disney makes way for Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land. Right now, those future lands are mostly piles of dirt and a few concrete foundations, but in a few years, we'll see some great payoff. However, in the meantime, it begs the question, should you still plan to visit the studios now? Today, we're going to look at the top six reasons you should still visit Disney's Hollywood Studios. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a studios fan who wouldn't dare call it a half-day park, Johnny Shortsleeve. Johnny, welcome back.
Never, never, never call it a half-day park. That's derogatory right there. That's fighting words. Thanks for having me back, Herb. I appreciate it, man.
It's always fun to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to our discussion, as always.
Yeah, man, definitely. It's a good topic, and hopefully it'll help shake that stigma of this half-day thing I keep hearing about.
Yeah, people say that all the time. They say that about another Disney park, too, sometimes. But I think some of it is what you make of it. But
Now that it's open at night, it's a full-day park.
By definition, I guess it is. That's a good point.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we get into the fist fighting topic, let's pick another controversial one, which is, what is your favorite extinct Magic Kingdom attraction for our warm-up question?
I tell you, Herbert, it's funny because you do a great job at throwing curveballs at me, because I'm right now like locked down, ready to talk Hollywood Studios, and then you go down to Magic Kingdom for me, like my brain just went, whoa, gotta change gears here.
You now know the secret behind the warm-up question. It's like opposite of whatever the primary topic is. That's the secret to getting it.
You know what? You could have just hold off on saying that, and I still wouldn't have figured it out. Like, that's how slow my brain is sometimes. Like, how many podcasts have you and I done together? At least, you know, a handful. I haven't figured that out yet. Goodness gracious, man. I got to dial it up here a little bit. So, all right, let me get to the question. So, extinct attraction, Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
You know, my knee-jerk reaction, Herb, I know there's a bunch that I really miss, but my knee-jerk reaction of the number one thing is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Okay. I know that's one that probably a million people would answer the same way. What can I say? It was so much fun. J. Thaddeus Toad, what a handsome little creature. And I haven't been to Disneyland in a long time. It's probably been 7-8 years maybe. And I remember every single time that I went to Disneyland, that was always something that I wanted to hit first. And obviously, since it's closed here at the Magic Kingdom in Disney World. But yeah, that would have to be number one. I really miss the most Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Because who doesn't want a chance to die and go to Hades and see what happens after that? So,
a little on the dark side, I'm not going to lie. It's a little preachy, but it's good. It's all in good fun, right?
That this is true. The devil's a lot more interesting when he's a cardboard cutout. So
yeah. I wonder, part of that is to kind of, you know, it's like that TV show Scared Straight. Like it's like Disney's version of telling kids, hey, you better watch it. You're getting a little lippy. Let's go ride Mr. Toad's again to see what's happening.
I think that's a great answer, and I think there is so much nostalgia for Toad. I think people really miss him. He's on trading pins now and t-shirts, and I understand there are occasional pilgrimage trips out to Disneyland for people who live in Florida, so they can get their fill. He's definitely missed, and I think a lot of people really would love to see him come back.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you? What's your which one do you miss the most? Did I steal yours, or do you have another one?
No, you didn't actually. So I'll tell you what I was going to say, and then I'll tell you what I will say, and I'll tell you the crazy reason why. Because when you first hear it, you might think I've kind of gone off the deep end. So I was originally going to say 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, because I thought that would be kind of the obvious one. A lot of people loved that ride. I loved it as a kid. But I think I'm actually going to do a zigzag, and I'm going to say the Mickey Mouse Review. And I'll tell you why. Because if you go and look at the Mickey Mouse Review today on YouTube, there are a few spots where you can watch it. You know, it just doesn't really click the way I think it probably clicked in back in 1971. So I wouldn't say it's a favorite because of what the attraction itself was. It just wouldn't have held up in time with the sort of technology they use. But I think the idea behind the Mickey Mouse Review and what it was able to elicit at the time is one of the reasons why it would be one of my favorite extinct attractions. It was a chance to see all the Disney characters. It was a chance to hear the Disney music and to sort of experience all those things that you saw in the books and saw on TV live and in person. And so even though if you were to go back and sit in front of that show today, I think you'd say, oh, wow, this is not so high tech or exciting. In its time, I think it really struck a chord with me as a kid. And that's why I would call it my favorite extinct Magic Kingdom attraction.
So here's a crazy question. Now, you know how Haunted Mansion's a great example, or Pirates of the Caribbean, that's a great example too, how they take a classic ride, a classic attraction, and over the years, they've slowly updated it. New technology, new little show elements have been added to it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if they did that to Mickey Mouse Review in terms of kind of keeping the structure of the show and the music together, but enhancing certain aspects of the experience, do you think it would still hold up today to today's crowd?
Wow, that is a super good question. I haven't really thought about it. The first thing that pops into my mind is that when you think about the Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean, I think you're in an attraction that moves. So whether it's a boat or an Omnimover, I think there's something very special about that experience in moving through sets. Whereas the Mickey Mouse Review was more of a show where you sit in your seat and you watch what's going on in front of you. And maybe the shows where you sit and watch just don't captivate or hold up as long as something that you move through. That's the first thing that pops into my mind. But on the other hand, I think that the concept of some sort of review based on Disney characters and music is a timeless idea. And I think Disney probably could bring something back like that. You know, it would probably have to be pretty dramatically different from what we saw way back in the 70s, just because I think our expectations are a lot higher. So there's my talk out of both sides of my mouth answer for you.
So here's I got an idea. So here's my idea. You know, there's been a lot of talk about projections and some of the technology that they're supposedly trademarking kind of in secret with, I don't know, hologram or projection type technology. What if they could do it like in the guest rooms in the hotels? They could project a show like that, like at the click of a button, boom, Mickey Mouse Review.
Wow. So like the same show presented with a new technology, or same idea presented with a new technology.
Just now brought it to the 21st century with some crazy projections and holograms and all this stuff that has been kind of rumored that's coming on. Mm. How would you like that to, you know, for your kids to say, all right, instead of watching Stacey Aswad on the TV do the top 10 must-dos, let's watch the Mickey Mouse Review.
I would vote for that. I think that would be interesting to see.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. Well, Disney, if you're listening, you can send the royalty checks to World of Walt, I'll share them with Johnny.
This is where it started. I mean, this is, you know, that's what they do, right? They probably just, they get the technology. Let's just go look at the fan sites. They're going to come up with good ideas, and we'll just get inspiration, quote unquote.
And we'll just do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Or not. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So now to shift gears back to the real topic for today, the top six reasons you should still visit Disney's Hollywood Studios. Johnny, we're over to you for number one.
Well, this one was a no-brainer for me. When you sent me an email saying, hey, I got this idea, I literally, it took about a half a second, and I said, this has got to be number one on my list. The Citizens of Hollywood. To me, this is the reason why actually I still go to Hollywood Studios as often as I do, because I love to just sit and watch the performances for this little acting troupe. If it's something that you've never heard of before, essentially it's a phrase that I think you hear a lot used by Disney is streetmosphere. Mm. It's just actors that are moving about through the park and creating an atmosphere that helps you to understand where you're at and help you really enhance the experience where you're at. So don't quote me on the schedules, but because I guess they're always subject to change. But what I've noticed is I don't think they have their real schedule on any of the materials like the Times Guide and things like that. They just have like this window when you'll see them. Because I think they do some stuff kind of like early on when the park opens. And then usually around 10:30 on Sunset Boulevard, they do like a radio show. Mm-hmm. Which at least now at the time that we're recording this in early 2017, this is how they're doing it. Then around 11:30, they do a different kind of show where they kind of split up the troupe and they kind of just move up and down and do their own little thing. Then they have like a matchmaker show later in the day. Then they have this 99 jokes, like joke telling contest between them later in the afternoon, like 2:30. It's just so much fun. And look, I'm not a huge joke fan, but I laugh all the time at the stuff that they do and the jokes that they tell because their timing is impeccable. They're really good at reading the audience and getting the audience involved. And they're really, really sharp. I mean, just to come up with some of the stuff that they do like off the cuff, just improv comedy.
Yeah.
I have an amazing appreciation for that skill because I look at that and say, wow, that's impressive that they're that funny, that quick, and can entertain people and hold someone's attention for, you know, a 30-minute show. That's impressive when it's not something that's set on a schedule or something you can create a fast pass for. Because, you know, Herb, I'm not telling you or the listener, and they don't know, I already know. If you just sit on a bench at any of the theme parks at Disney, you see people just running. Like literally just sprinting because they have a fast pass or a reservation, mm-hmm. or you see people hustling like at a really high clip. And I get bummed about that because they're walking past amazing details or experiences that they are just so, they have their blinders on for the thing, the next thing on the list that we got to accomplish because their time is short there.
Yeah.
But this is one of those things that I'd say you want to make sure you bake a little extra time in your day to experience things like this that just kind of come up in the midst of you experiencing the time there at Disney's Hollywood Studios. There's some, and one of the things that I think is interesting is, you know, Disney cast members have to be very careful about how they interact with the guests. And it's kind of legend as far as how much training they have to go through and how rigorous it is for them to make sure they keep up with certain standards and understandably why. And the result is this amazing experience you get from the cast members. But what's interesting with the Citizens of Hollywood is that they got maybe a little more leeway to have some fun and do some things that are maybe something that no other cast member could ever dream of doing to a guest, but probably like are secretly super jealous, like certain jokes that they'll crack about a guest or certain things that they'll do in terms of physical humor without giving away too much that you'd think there's just no way, absolutely any way, shape or form that if a regular normal cast member did this or said this, they'd be fired without a doubt.
Yeah.
But to me, that's so it's because it maybe that's part of the attraction for me. It's kind of shocking to see this, but it's. And let me say one final thing about it is my kids love this. My kids can keep their attention for a half hour set and watching them do their show. And that even goes all the way down to little Squirt, my little 1.5 year old.
Mm.
He can sit there in his little stroller, perfectly quiet, just watching the show. Like that to me, that right there That should be the accolade that really should sell it for anybody, to say that's how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I love the Citizens of Hollywood. And because there's a big improv nature to it, it's a different show every time. And there are so many different acts that they put on. And I agree, it's one of those things where so many people have so little time that they miss out on some of these great performances like the Citizens of Hollywood. I actually saw the troupe the other day on Sunset, and they were doing this skit that I had never seen before. There was a director and two technical guys, and it was all sorts of plays on words and puns, but the storyline was every time somebody would say break, the two tech guys would say break time, and then the director would go, no, it's not, and they'd say break over, and that was sort of the running theme and joke through the whole show. It was hilarious. And the film crew. It was great. So I think so many of the things they do are a blast, and it's one of those things you could walk right by it and miss it, but it's one of those things that makes Hollywood Studios special, I think, because they tend to have a little bit more of this interactive street performance than other spots. And it's great. I agree.
Yeah, because even like, you know, the Magic Kingdom has, you know, the mayor, and it has I almost said Fire Marshal Bill. That's something else. That's from another show. That's definitely not Disney. And you know the different Streetmosphere characters that walk up and down in the morning hours usually at the Magic Kingdom, but they're just kind of there saying hi and taking pictures, and they'll interact with the guests, but it's not really a show, right, so to speak. It's just they're there to kind of set the stage that these are some of the citizens that are around Main Street. But this is totally different, and totally different experience. And I can't recommend enough. Everybody who, any friends of mine that come to town and they ask what I should recommend them doing, is I tell them just to make sure you catch them do their stuff. It's an amazing part of the experience there.
I agree. I also agree with the comment you had about how difficult it is to pull off improv. I think if you're a comedian, being an improv comedian, not that I know anything about this, but must be one of the hardest types, because you have to think on your feet and you have to be sharp and funny and take into account what's going on. I've just got to imagine that these are really, really smart and well-tuned artists who can pull that off, because it's not the sort of thing that anybody can just step in and like, well, we'll give you a story, go ahead and make it happen. It's not easy to do what they do.
And their jokes are family friendly.
Yes.
Like, you think how easy it is. Like, it's easy to phone in a joke that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it can be offensive to somebody or some group of people. And if you look at like the big name comedians today, that's a lot of their act. It's offensive stuff. It's things that can, you know, you can laugh at it if you can laugh at yourself, but to do really good, funny, like belly laugh comedy that's family friendly.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do.
Agree. Yep. I agree. Excellent first choice, Johnny, the Citizens of Hollywood. Okay. So I'll put on my cape as Captain Obvious, and I'll go to some of the big e-ticket attractions, which I think are still worth visiting at Disney Hollywood Studios. And the first one I'll bring up for number two on our list is the Rock and Roller Coaster. So since it opened way back in 99, it's been thrilling people by hurling them through space at 0 to almost 60 in a little less than 3 seconds. I think the thrill of the Rock and Roller Coaster is a big attraction. You know, they could rip off the show building and take away the story, and it would still be an amazing ride. But when you add the story and you add in all of the details, it makes it that much more fun. One of the little details they've got is that each of the different train cars has a license plate on it, and that will determine what sort of song you're going to hear. So there's one license that's You Go Babe, and that's the one where you'll hear Love in an Elevator. There's one that's H8TRFFC, or Hate Traffic, and that's where you'll hear Dude Looks Like a Lady. So Rock and Roller Coaster, world-class coaster, but great fun story and really good attraction worth checking out. And I learned recently that they have the very same track layout at Disneyland Paris, where you can explore the rock and roller coaster Avec Aerosmith. So if you know French, you can enjoy that there too.
You know, one time I was walking out of that attraction and I was standing next to this guy and his daughter, and she was younger. I couldn't even remember how old she was, but she was obviously old enough to be riding the ride, but probably just barely in terms of her height. And I wasn't like eavesdropping, but just, you know how it goes. You just overhear people talking. And the little girl said, "Wow, why was Uncle Steven in this ride?" and like the guy saw me overhear this, and he kind of like clammed up, and he's like, "All right, shuffling the girl along, like I'm going to say something, like, well, you're related to Steven Tyler, like I don't know, it could have been blood, or it could have just like, you know how some people were called Uncle Steven, or you know like Uncle Herb, you know, just from from friends that you're really good with,
yeah.
So I don't know what the connection was, but I thought, oh wow, that's how would that be as a little kid to ride that ride and say, oh, I know that dude. Like he's in the I'd go to his house and he has a barbecue. Not him himself, his chef, but
yeah, of course. his people and his caterers put that together for him.
And it's not really a house, it's more of a chateau. But you know, you get the
details, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a head trip.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
I didn't know that about the license plate, though. That's a neat little tip. Because I knew that there was some difference in the audio tracks, but I didn't know it was tied to the actual cars themselves. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a fun little one. So, it's a good attraction. It has definitely stood the test of time, and I hope it's going to be there for a good long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that was number two. So, Johnny, we're back to you for number three.
Okay. Herb, you're going to get some hate mail on this one. Now, I know I've thrown out some nuggets in the past that I've kind of every now and then I'll look through the comments and I'll see somebody say, just totally disagree with something I've said or think I'm the biggest idiot in the world. And I'm okay with that. Hey, look, we all have our own opinions and there's no right or wrong answer. Everything's awesome at Walt Disney World, in my opinion. But this one, I'm really going to hold myself out, and I know people are probably just going to be taking their iPhones and just like Ron Gronkowski, just spiking them on the ground and saying, "Dummy, can't believe he said that." But for the first time in forever, the Frozen sing-along celebration. I like it. I'm going to admit, I like it. My kids love it. My kids love going to see the Frozen sing-along. I like it too because and seeing it a handful of times, I realized that while it's scripted, there's a few spots in there where the actors do have some creative freedom to have some fun. And so you could go watch it one day and then with one set of actors, and then the next day if it's a different set of actors, you'll see a little bit different jokes or things are told a little bit differently and they'll have a little more fun in there. So it's not purely improv, but there is some fun that gets peppered in there depending on who you're seeing. Now, I like the movie. I'm not going to admit, I'm not even going to say that I'm losing man points for admitting that. I like the film. It's a good movie. They did a really good job with it. The music is good. I don't mind singing along to it. I think the songs are really good. But what I think is interesting to me, and I noticed this, and I purposely do this, when the show is going on and it's really kind of revving up and really getting to the meaty parts of the show, I just kind of glance around at the audience and see how the other guests are enjoying this. And it never fails. You'll see somebody who's choking up or getting a little teary, or you see a parent or, you know, like hugging the child sitting next to them, just like having just this moment where they're enjoying something that for the first time that they're seeing it in this format. They've just been in their living room, and that's been a special time together for them to just sit there and enjoy this movie together at home. But to do it here in this format, there's a different emotional response that you have to that. And to me, that's neat. I like seeing people in that mode, like being happy and just being so having so much fun enjoying their time together. And I think, you know, if you're in a position where you know, you can – you know, find the time to just kind of disconnect from the show for a quick second to look around and see that, I think that could do a lot to, you know, replenish your soul a little bit. Mm-hmm. Lord knows that there's a lot going on these days. It kind of wears everybody down and things are kind of tough. But when you stop to find something like that and observe people in just this pure moments of joy and happiness, I think that does a lot to kind of undo and unravel all that nastiness that you might have bottled up from the real world beating you down. So that's why I like that show a lot.
Wow. Good points. So when I first heard this, I thought, are they just going to shoehorn in some Frozen songs because there's an empty space? But having seen the show a number of times, I agree with you. It's a great show, actually. People love it. People really are singing along. I've actually wondered if they sometimes sort of pipe in the sound of people singing so they get everyone else to sing. I don't know how they do that, but it works. People join right in. And the two main actors, or the actor and the actress, the historians, are great. And I'm sure they've got a couple different ones. But their lines are witty. Their delivery is great. And anytime you can fit in a pun about a fjord escort, I think you've got a good show. It's just a lot of fun.
Good little zingers in there.
Yeah. So even for adults who have never seen it, who might not be interested in Frozen, I think some of the dialogue is very clever, and I think the presentation is very well done. I think some of the technology they use is pretty cool. This massive screen, I mean, super jumbo TV, very, very clear, is kind of cool, and probably allowed them to do a lot with that show in a very small space and very quickly. So, yeah, I think First Time in Forever is definitely worth seeing, and during the show, you will see people smiling and having special moments, exactly like you said. And I think most everyone is going to walk out with a smile on their face because it just has a great ending, and maybe a little snow in their hair, too.
Hey, funny story real quick. You mentioned about the idea of piping in the sound of people singing. Years ago, I was walking past the America Gardens Pavilion over in Epcot, where they do Eat to the Beat, you know, the musical acts during Food and Wine.
Yeah.
And this was like an off week where they didn't have like some of the big heavy hitter entertainers that some of the people might come for, like on the weekends. They had like, it was, I think it was like 38 Special, which, you know, good group. I had a 38 Special cassette back in the 80s. I don't remember which one, but I remember getting a cassette of theirs. So they were up there, and I was standing on the promenade watching. I wasn't actually in the, where the seats were. And I was looking down, and they're wrapping up a song, and the crowd wasn't that full. There was a lot of empty seats in there. But I thought, okay, whatever, just kind of like middle of the week, no big deal. Well, then the song finishes, huge applause. I'm thinking, wow, all right, good. This is like, people are getting into this. They're vibing on the music. And this applause is going on, and literally at the drop of a hat, silent. I went, oh, no. They were using an applause track, and someone like kicked the cord. Like, how would you like to be those guys up on stage? Like, what do you do? Like, you just got, all right, we got to roll the next song. Go, 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 go. Stop bowing. Stop like raising your fists in the air. Go, hit the next chord. Go.
Awkward moment. Yeah. So
one of those times I wish I had like the GoPro on my cap that was recording everything I saw.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow, interesting. Well, it makes me want to go watch some concerts in the middle of the day on Wednesday now, just to see what it's really like.
You never know.
All right, First Time in Forever. So that's going to lead to number four. And I'm going to go to one of the most technologically sophisticated attractions that Disney has ever done. Opened up in 2008 at an estimated cost of, you know, in the ballpark of $100 million. And I'm talking about Toy Story Mania. So Toy Story Mania combines vehicles that move with a game. And I think that's, this interactive nature of it is part of the reason why it is so incredibly popular. So much that they added a new track, which I think was a good idea. Interesting fun fact, which I've got to think this is out of date, but the ride has more than 150 PCs on it, and the last information I saw was that they were all running Windows XP. And so I've never seen Toy Story Mania crash before, but I hope they have a good tech plan to update the bones of that one, because it's a fun attraction and I hope it's around for a long time. And I hope that occasionally they will continue to swap out the games with new ones, because they've done that a couple different times. And I think it's really fun because the technology is all there. It's all about just upgrading the content. So Toy Story Mania would make my list.
So if I ever cruise down through there in that Pixar alley and I see that their attraction is temporarily shut down, what you're saying is chances are pretty good it may not be the vehicles, maybe the computers.
There's probably a few blue screens of death throughout the attraction, yeah.
Now I want to go like hit Google up when we're done here to see if anyone's got like, you know, the photo of in ride when it shuts down, yeah. Or the video when it shuts, and then you see just blue screens everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that would be like a PC user's nightmare, I think, to be moving through a world of blue screens. So not good.
That's too funny. I didn't know that. That's an interesting little nugget there.
Yeah, I can imagine how complicated it was to build out this attraction with 150 different computers moving around and twirling and having to program all that stuff to work together. It really is amazing that it gets pulled off, you know, all day, every day. And that attraction doesn't seem to get a lot of rest. I mean, there's constantly a line of people coming and going. So it's got to be a rock solid performer, and it is. And it was, I think it was interesting that Disney decided to add capacity to it by adding the third track. I think it was a third. It's just sort of proven the test of time. People love that attraction, and for good reason. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, when you add that competitive nature that we all kind of have in some way, shape, or form, some of us may not want to admit it, but we really are competitive.
Yeah.
And when you're kind of competing against, you know, whoever else is with you in the vehicle, and then you see like your stats at the end when it says, you know, what's the record for the day or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. I think that it's a neat way to escape to something that's a different experience, themed really nicely to the film. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun to do that stuff. So I really think that's definitely a great call for the list here.
Yeah, thanks. Number four. Okay, Johnny, number five, back to you.
All right, let me rub my belly here because I'm talking about food now. Now, this is a tough one because historically, I think if you ask people to rank the theme parks in terms of food experiences or food, you know, the food quality and the choices, I think unfortunately Hollywood Studios would have been last on the list. And it's improving a lot. There's some new things that have come in, and they've reworked and reimagined some of the existing quick serve places. The menus have been updated, but the one that still stands the test of time, it's been solid since day one, in my opinion, and is still solid today, is 50's Primetime Cafe. That's a spot where, you know, oftentimes you'll hear locals say that they don't like the table service restaurants too much because, you know, they feel like it's overpriced or the experience isn't worth, you know, the cost, whatever. This is one of those ones that I will hear a lot of locals say is an exception to that rule, that they love going to this restaurant. They don't mind the price. You know, this is, I don't know. When people see this, they might turn their nose up to it, and when they hear it, they might turn their nose up to it. But the fried herb and garlic cheese appetizer, that's insanity. Man, literally. I think I could take down a couple of servings of that stuff. It's just basically like boars and cheese. It's breaded and fried. And we got it one time a couple years ago and didn't come with any bread to spread it on. And I said to the server, I said, I'm sorry, this normally comes with like this little toast or something. Is happen to be missing? They said, no, we're not doing that anymore. I said, really? How am I supposed to eat this thing? And it's like a spreadable cheese kind of deal. Like, am I going to like pick it up with my fingers and toss it in the air and try to catch it with my mouth? Like, I'm up for the challenge. And they said, no, we'll get you some. And then I came back again like a year or so ago, and they started serving the toast again with that. Mm. Fried chicken. I've heard people say that might be – one of the best fried chicken options in Walt Disney World, next to like Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. I've heard some people say Art Smith's Homecoming is pretty darn good fried chicken. At, you know, it's $27 a pop, 2017 prices. But I tell you what, the one thing I recently had, like my last trip was, I think like about a year ago, was a salmon dish that they had there. And, you know, I don't know why I got the nudge to try it, but it was one of the best salmon dishes I've ever had. And here's what's crazy. It's not crazy, but it's really, I think, just kind of shows you just the amazing level of service Disney is committed to, is when I was done, I told the server, I said, absolutely outstanding. I mean, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but would you pass along to the chef that, hey, I really enjoyed this. And he said, I'd love to. I mean, definitely would love to do that. And so he goes away and comes back with this piece of paper and hands it to me and says, this is the recipe. I went, oh my goodness. I felt like I got like this, you know, this treasure map or something that was just of amazing value. And just to illustrate it, I was so petrified of losing it. I took a picture of it with my phone. So that in case something happened, like I got caught up in a windstorm or got pushed into a mud puddle or something, like it, and it got destroyed, that I would have some other means to hold on to it. Because it literally was just knocked my socks off. And then dessert, man, you can't go wrong with a dessert here. A lot of the, you know, like the shakes and all that kind of stuff, the ice cream sundaes. I will say this: they took off one of my favorite desserts, of probably my favorite dessert anywhere in the park, minus the bread pudding at Ohana. It was a Boston cream parfait, which, you know, that's an old school dessert. Parfait. You don't see a lot of those run around these days, which I don't know why. It's just such an amazing creation, all the layers of goodness there. But it's just, I don't think I've ever been there and been disappointed with anything I've ever gotten at the Primetime Cafe. Plus, there's the experience of being there with, you know, the cousins who are your servers, and the kind of the shtick that they have, and it's a fun interactive environment. And I will say one little tip that I picked up is, if you can, if you have the time, cruise around and just enjoy some of the things that are on the walls in there, because you'll see some little nuggets that there's some things that are like period pieces or look like they're period pieces that are actually, you can tell, I'm guessing, were created by Imagineers. Like there's a calendar on one of the walls that has some hilarious entries on it that are just absolutely way too funny to be something from the 50s, in my opinion. Not that people weren't funny in the 50s, but that's funny, like the stuff that's on that calendar. So that'd be a fun little tip, little scavenger. Just go around and see if you can enjoy the what they have in terms of decorations there. But definitely don't sleep on 50s Primetime Cafe. Make sure you make a stop to there.
Great choice. And one word for me is meatloaf. They have got an incredible meatloaf, which is a perfect sort of food for the 50s Primetime Cafe.
Yeah.
I think you get an interactive show. I think you get to step back in time. I think you get to have fun with the servers. And it's one of those places where when the idea for Star Wars came out, I was thinking, uh-oh, we may lose the 50s Primetime Cafe because of where it happens to be located. It looks like it's probably safe. And I've got to imagine that Disney prints money with the 50s Primetime Cafe, as well they should, because it is constantly busy. But it is worth the wait. It is, I think, a decent value, as you said, and just a fun place to go. It's really a favorite of mine. And I think if you're going to Hollywood Studios, try to get your advanced dining reservation for the 50s Primetime Cafe. You will have a great time and you'll enjoy the food. You'll be glad you went there.
And I'm glad you said that, Herb, because if you think you can just walk up there and just grab a table, forget it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I've gone in there before with that in my mind, thinking, well, if I wait long enough, then I'll certainly get a table. Like, nope.
they'll just turn you away.
Yeah.
So take a hike.
Yeah.
There's a hot dog stand over there.
Every table is booked from now until after we close. And even if you stood here and stared at us for the next 3 hours, we're still not going to let you get in. There's just no more room in the inn.
You just need like to be hanging with somebody like Jeff Galooly and do like a Nancy Kerrigan and just you see someone come in and it looks like they definitely have a reservation. All right, take them out the kneecaps. Go, go.
You walk over like Smith party of three. Could we, you know, Smith, we're on there, right?
Yeah, as they're down there wincing in pain. What's your last name? How many people in your party?
Don't try this at Disney or at home, folks. We're just having fun. So
exactly, we don't condone crime
in any shape or form. That's right.
Yeah, but the meatloaf is good though.
It is very good. Yeah, it's almost worth getting violent over. It's but we're
almost,
not going to go.
Almost
there.
Worth rolling that dice.
50s Primetime Cafe, one of the best sit-down restaurants at Disney World. It's great. Any place you can go and see Formica and I Love Lucy at the same spot. You know, that's a trip down memory lane right there.
Absolutely.
All right, number six, back to me. And thank you, Johnny, for leaving this one for me. You know me well. And this episode would not be right without a trip on the Hollywood Tower of Terror. Probably my favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World. Maybe my favorite attraction any place. So, interesting backstory. The idea that eventually led to the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror originated in the 80s when Disney was looking to expand Disneyland Paris, which at the time was Euro Disney, and they were going to add something in, of all places, their Frontierland, and it was going to include a free fall. It was going to be something called Geyser Mountain, and like so many ideas at Disney, it didn't quite take its form there. But the idea didn't go away and eventually became the Tower of Terror at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Way back then when it opened, it was the MGM Studios. And it's one of those attractions that showed up in a lot of other Disney parks. You can see it at Disney Sea in Tokyo, the Paris Park. You used to be able to see it at California Adventure, the buildings there, but it's going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy. I love the Tower of Terror. The music, the landscaping, the theming, the architecture, the story, the effects, the thrills, whatever you want to point to, I think this attraction has it all. It really is a favorite. And if you don't mind drops, definitely check it out the next time you're at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Now, I was just down there the other day and walking through the gift shop, and I noticed that you know, I like to just cruise through the gift shops in general because it's neat to just see what they come up with. And they're rotating their merchandise pretty regularly down there. But for a while, it was kind of the same stuff in the little gift shop at the Tower of Terror. But it seems like lately, they put a lot of new stuff in there, and it's really cool. Like some stuff that I would say still falls within the traditional kind of souvenir realm of things that you were seeing before, like the little bells and things that were hotel-esque, like the bathrobes and stuff. But some of the apparel that they're in there now, like some of the stuff looks like really, really nice high-end stuff that's in there in some of the sections and some cool artwork that's up in there now. So that's something that even I notice a lot of people when they're on the ride, they kind of hightail it out of there to go to the next thing. They say, oh, another gift shop. No, it's neat. I don't mind the idea of gift shops because I look at those souvenirs as little anchors of an experience, something that you can look at and be able to remember a really fun time that you had with your friends and your family, and not just this thing where you're just dumping your wallet open and giving it all over to Disney. Don't think of it that way. Think of it as something that will help you remember that experience. And Take your time when you're hightailing it out of the Tower Chair and just take a few minutes to peek through some of that stuff. It's really neat stuff in there.
You're right. I think the merchandise planners probably didn't think ahead that people are going to be really hyped up on their adrenaline after they've just been dropped into the Twilight Zone, and they probably just need to run for a few minutes to get over it. But the gift shop is really fun. They do have a lot of good material. And I love the sort of graphic style that they're using on some of the art that I've seen there recently. It's very clever. It fits the theme and the time frame. So, yeah, in addition to the attraction itself, take a few minutes to check out the gift shop. You might find something you want to take home.
And let me just, Disney, I'm going to give you this idea for free. If you want people to slow it down on the way out because of that adrenaline rush, rip up the carpet, rip up the concrete, put about a good foot layer deep of sand. They can't run through sand. Got to take their time getting through sand.
This is an idea worth considering. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, they don't have to pay me royalties on that idea. They can just take that one. I don't have the time to help them with that.
Okay. Any Imagineers who are listening in, that was Johnny Shortsleeve. And
you're welcome.
Oh, man. Well, with that, I think I have to do the recap of the top six reasons you should still visit Disney's Hollywood Studios. Number one is the Citizens of Hollywood. Number two, the Rock and Roller Coaster. Number three, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. Number four, Toy Story Mania. Five, the 50s Primetime Cafe. May it live a good long life. And number six, the Hollywood Tower, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. All right, Johnny, fun conversation. So if people are interested in what you're up to these days, what's the best way for them to find that out?
Oh, probably like a milk carton. You know, I'm usually lost in a park somewhere. But now let me do this. I keep unfortunately using you and pumping my own stuff. Let me do something here to help someone out here. And I want to just put a quick idea, take 30 seconds for the folks listening. I'm not going to get political here. And so don't think that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm being honest and sincere. The Orange County Sheriff's Department, they patrol those parks and keep us safe, us guests safe every single day. Some of them you see in uniform, some of them you don't see. I got to tell you, if you or your kids walk up to one of those officers and just say thank you or say hi or give them a thumbs up, high five, do something, acknowledge them and just to show appreciation, I tell you what, it blows them away because they're people. I mean, yeah, there's bad apples in every – hey, there's bad accountants. There's bad doctors. There's bad lawyers. Got to get over that for a second and realize these are people who – put their lives in line every day to make sure we all stay safe and we can enjoy time with our friends and family at those theme parks. Try this next time you head on down, just say hi, just say thank you. Tell them you appreciate what they do. Guarantee you it's going to make a huge impact on them. And I hope it'll do the same to you as well.
Wow. Great idea, Johnny. Thank you. I appreciate your saying that.
Right on.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for joining me today. It was a fun discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Herb. I always appreciate doing it. Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a lot of fun to do one of these with you.
Yes, today we head out to the music of The Great Movie Ride, and we have made it through the list of the top six reasons you should still visit Disney's Hollywood Studios. However, the conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. You can visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/113 and leave your comments in the comments section. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch and invite you to follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, as always, a big thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com website, where you can check out some great articles and chat with other folks in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is very cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.